Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry. Jesus' hand, we'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
Could it be that God is talking? Could it be that God is saying to Barack Obama, get your butt back to Washington, D.C. and actually do your job? Could God be saying, this country's not made for socialism? We're on the wrong track. Could it be that Americans are saying, we're on the that America is saying that we're on the wrong track, and then God is saying, we're on the wrong track. Because apparently Barack Obama's not listening to the Lord. He's not listening to the citizenry of this great country. He's just not listening. So could it be that God is saying enough? I don't know. It sounds like it, doesn't it? It sounds like God is saying enough. What do you think? I mean, this is the first earthquake that's occurred in the United States of America in quite a long time. This is the first time an earthquake has struck the East Coast in a while. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe. You know, when I heard about the earthquake earlier, I thought about a movie where you had a black president in office. And every single time we had a black president in office in the movies, for some reason the world is on the verge of destruction. The whole world is on the verge of collapse. Remember that great meteor movie? Impact, Deep Impact was the name of the movie. The president was... who was the president of the United States during the movie Deep Impact? Oh, I can't think of his name, but it's going to come to me in just a minute. And here now, we have a black president, and the whole world is about to collapse around us. What does that say? I'm not much to get into, racism and all that, but, you know, and the race thing, but I think God is talking to us. I think God is saying he's had enough. And he's fired a warning shot. It's a shot across the bow of the United States of America saying, get your act together. That's what I think. I don't know if you have any ideas about this earthquake that rattled my pots and pans, knocked a couple of pictures off my wall. I mean, I've been in and out of D.C. I attended school and a couple of schools here in the area in Maryland and D.C. I attended Officer Candidate School at Quantico. Spent 3 years working on the Quantico Marine Base. Not a single tremor. But now, things are different. We've got a mess. We've got a serious mess here. Gallup shows that Obama's approval rating has sunk to 38%. Billy says it's not color. He says it's about mentality. I believe he's right. Gallup shows that Obama's approval rating has sunk to 38%. Wow. 38%. We have earthquakes happening. We've got Hurricane Irene coming to South Florida, just skirting South Florida. Will our president blame the earthquake for his low approval ratings? Will the president blame this earthquake for the jobless rate, along with ATMs and the internet and so on? You've got Muammar Gaddafi vowing to fight to the death. You've got Joe Biden saying that he agrees with the one-child policy. He doesn't have a problem with that. Obama misses a putt after the quake. And now we've got Democrats, congressmen, coming out against the Tea Party. saying that the Tea Party is racist. The Tea Party is the enemy. What does the Tea Party stand for? Low taxes and fiscal responsibility. So think about it. If the Tea Party is the enemy, they're the enemy of spending more money than we don't have. They're all about fiscal responsibility. Can we agree that the Tea Party is about fiscal responsibility and getting back to fiscal sanity? Over-taxation, over-regulation, the Tea Party's not for that. The Tea Party wants to fight against that. The Tea Party wants to fight against this high deficit. So for Democrats, that means the Tea Party is the enemy. The enemy of what? What is the Tea Party the enemy of, folks? Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? I find it to be insane that the Tea Party has now become the focus of the Democrats. So a new Democrat representative, Fredrika Wilson, Republican, Florida. Let me make sure I've got this right. Let us all remember who the real enemy is. The real enemy is the Tea Party. The Tea Party holds the Congress hostage. They have one goal in mind, and that's to make President Obama a one-term president. Representative Fredrika Wilson, Democrat, Florida, said at a Miami town hall with constituents. Wow. So now we've had Maxine Waters come out and say that the Tea Party can go straight to hell. What do you guys think of all this? The Tea Party is now the enemy. The Tea Party is the enemy, and they need to be dealt with. How is that going to happen? I'm a Tea Partier. So does that mean I'm the enemy? And what am I the enemy of? The president? The Congress? Who is my enemy? How many of you are members of the Tea Party? How many of you espouse to the Tea Party's talking points, low taxes, fiscal responsibility? How many of you are Tea Partiers? Because if you are Tea Partiers, then that means that you're somebody's enemy. The enemy. How could this be, folks? How could we be the enemy? Amazing. The enemy. We'll be right back after this brief message. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper, and I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
We were talking earlier about you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We were talking about black folks. No, we were talking about a black president. Now, disaster always seems to strike in the movies, but Billy says in the chat room that it's not about color, it's about mentality. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. A good friend of mine, Matt Peterson, pointed out in one of his blogs that Obama is the affirmative action president. He says that Obama was elected to make up for America's never-ending guilt about black folks. That obsessional guilt trips work so well that it's landed us in racial socialism. Does anybody agree? Also called affirmative action. Does anybody agree? Marxism whips up resentment of poor against the rich, but in fact it empowers only the left. And racial socialism does the same thing. It whips up people of color against evil pale faces, white folks, in order to empower the left. It's the Ku Klux Klan in new sheets in this historic election, the historic election of 2008. A white kid told me he voted. He voted for the savior because Hillary looks too white. That's right, you heard it. It was his little contribution to affirmative action. Who started affirmative action? As contemporary racial favoritism was first announced by Lyndon Baines Johnson. But it was implemented by the Nixon Labor Department as a revised Philadelphia plan with strict racial quotas and timetables. The Philadelphia plan was supposed to make up for genuine discrimination against blacks in the Philadelphia building trades. But it quickly triggered an avalanche of racial compensation claims, legal decisions, and executive orders that flipped the burden of proof. Where am I going with all this? Where am I going? Well, you'll be surprised. Today, instead of having a history of group discrimination, AA, affirmative action, simply presumes a proven history of discrimination and compels employers to prove it. To prove it ain't so. Say it ain't so. Nixon ordered the Commerce Department to start its first racial compensation plan. And in 1973, he required all United States federal agencies to implement affirmative action employment opportunity programs for all federal employees. Once AA, affirmative action, applied to all federal agencies, it quickly spread to all institutions that took money from the feds, including the states and local governments, universities, colleges, general education systems, federal contractors, and on and on and on and on. AA became the presumption of universal white guilt in America. Now there's legitimate compensation law going back to the Bible and the Code of Hammurabi. If I harm you from malice or neglect, I owe you compensation. The trouble with affirmative action is that it no longer requires proof. If you're white, if you're male, and if you're heterosexual, you are presumed guilty. If racial discrimination harmed someone centuries ago, AA creates the presumption of guilt by race. AA has universalized group guilt and has driven a stake through the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. Oh, yeah. But if you wonder why we can't enforce our immigration laws the way we did for 200 years, it's because AA, affirmative action, is now insatiable. It keeps looking for victims, groups, because it's driven by the power of greed of the left. Obama wants to legalize Mexican illegals to make another dependency class that will vote Democrat. Remember what I said yesterday. What did I say yesterday about Lyndon Baines Johnson? When he signed affirmative action legislation, not one moment after his signature hit that piece of paper, he said, "I'll have them niggas voting Democrat for the next 200 years." Yeah, I said the N-word. That's because that's what he said. I'm not going to go ahead and skirt around it tonight. Those were Lyndon Baines Johnson's actual words. He said, after signing legislation, affirmative action legislation, this will have those niggers voting Democrat for the next 200 years. So what Barack Obama seeks to do with his backdoor amnesty is to do the very same thing. He wants to legalize Mexican illegals, another dependency class that will vote Democrat. He wants Muslims to be the new victim class because they'll vote for him and bring in Saudi money to fill leftist coffers for generations to come. I've said it over and over again, the guy's a moron. But really, is he? Or is he just wickedly stupid? Affirmative action has also castrated the Constitution. If you doubt that this is a socialist move, take a look at Europe, which has used exactly the same tactics to import 53 million Muslims to live on welfare and vote socialist. That's why Europe is sinking fast, like the Titanic. If AA is allowed to run things, the left is guaranteed to stay in power forever. Watergate. Watergate was a third-rate burglary. No offense to my main man, G. Gordon Liddy. But Nixon's affirmative action order may topple America as a nation. America, and Americans are no longer equal. We're color-coded. We're M&Ms. The left can play any color against the others for generations to come. The Nazis were just another racial socialist movement. Ethnic scapegoating was their road to power. Racial socialism has a history, folks. A fearful historical track record. Think about it. I saw the AA, Affirmative Action Mafia, raising in academia when I was serving my sentence. The United States Naval Academy, Georgetown University, William and Mary. In English, education, communication, and ethnic studies, affirmative action brought in the racial left, not by merit, but by race, gender. I once wanted to join the Secret Service. I gave some thought to it. I even gave thought to the Defense Intelligence Agency, the CIA. There were tests involved. I got 10 points just for being black. Already knocked off. 10 points just for being black. Another white major going for the same test got no such 10 points. I got another 10 points for being a military veteran. That's 20 points off the test right there. My white counterpart, none. None. Simply because he's white. I'm black. I get 10 points off the test just for this color of my skin. Is it right? No. I declined the offer and decided to stay a Marine, where in the Marine Corps, and you may believe this if you wish, in the Marine Corps, we're all green. In fact, we're taught in the Marine Corps, I was taught in the Marine Corps in 1979, that there are two colors in the Marine Corps. There's light green and there's dark green. And I was simply a dark green Marine. We're all the same color. Not by merit, though, in these other places. If you're gay, you get preferential hiring in some colleges today. Agitators like Bill Ayers gets life tenure as education professors because education becomes Marxified. That's how the left took over the colleges. That's why your kids can't read today. But they're brainwashed to feel guilty because of African-American slavery that ended in 1865. That's why the left will never talk about 12 centuries of Muslim slavers. Like poverty, slavery is just an excuse for the left. They don't care about slavery, they care about power. When the left took over our colleges, they started churning out clones like HIV does. The marketplace of ideas, they say. But really, the marketplace of ideas became the clone factory of the left. Today, they control the media and the culture. The broadcast networks, an endless stream of anti-prop for more affirmative action, which is just racial revenge. Can we just call it as we see it? It's just racial revenge. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. We'll be right back.
He promised to change direction. $800 billion in stimulus. Trillions for government health care. 2 million jobs. Gone. Left turn after left turn. America's headed the wrong way fast. 6 million foreclosures, $14 trillion in debt, $500 billion in higher taxes, and the worst long-term unemployment in generations. Don't let Obama drive us to disaster. Change direction. Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
How many men ever went to a barbecue and would let one man take off the table what's intended for 9/10 of the people to eat? The only way you'll ever be able to feed the balance of the people is to make that man come back and bring back some of that grub he ain't got no business with.
Now, how are you going to feed the balance of the people? What's Morgan and Baruch and Rockefeller and Mellon going to do with all that grub? They can't eat it. They can't wear the clothes. They can't live in the house. But when they've got everything on the God's living earth that they can eat and they can wear and they can live in, and all that their children can live in and wear and eat and all their children's children can use, then we got to call Mr. Morgan and Mr. Mellon and Mr. Rockefeller back and say, come back here. Put that stuff back on this table here that you took away from here that you don't need. Leave something else for the American people to consume.
That's exactly right. Marxism, socialism. You're on with C. Robert Jones, Conservative Report. Glad to have you. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We had an earthquake here in Washington, D.C. An earthquake. So much is going wrong in this country, folks. It's amazing that we just had this minor earthquake, but there's an aftershock. There always is. Obama. Obama's idol, or one of them, Malcolm X, was what I like to call Mr. Racial Revenge. Reverend Wright hammered that message home for 20 years. But then Obama's mentor, Frank, as he was simply called in Obama's book, was one enraged black guy for the CP, USA, and Hawaii. Little Barry never heard anything different in his whole life. He was brainwashed by nearly every significant adult in his life path. No wonder he looks so out of place. He's never known a normal person in his life. In 2008, Obama bamboozled those nice liberals who fell for the racial revenge narrative. But back in reality, it's black people who now have the highest unemployment rate. My girl, Ann Coulter, points out, when blacks are only four generations out of slavery, their illegitimacy rate was about 23%, lower than the white illegitimacy rate is now. And then Democrats decided to help them. barely two generations since LBJ's Great Society programs began, the black illegitimacy rate has tripled to 72%. So much for Democrats helping black folks. You heard me right. Ann Coulter pointed out, when blacks were only four generations out of slavery, their illegitimacy rate was just about 23%, lower than the white illegitimacy rate is now. Then Democrats decided to help those poor black folks. So barely two generations since LBJ's Great Society programs began, I'll repeat, the black illegitimacy rate has tripled to 72%. Thank you. Thank you, kind, decent white folks who only want to help us poor black folks. And that, folks, is the best predictor of school dropouts, gang warfare, crime, drug abuse, and yes, more unmarried pregnancies for more kids growing up in pathological conditions. It's an epidemic. Socialism destroys families. As you just saw in London, with all the rioting and looting, taking from the rich to give to oneself, theft, and damn proud of it. Socialism destroys families, people. The media is beating home that more socialism is the answer. And our fantabulous hero, Barack Hussein Obama. He should be called Barack Ben Nixon, because his spiritual father is truly Richard Milhouse Nixon. The Equal Protection Clause now has a huge hole in its heart. And the left will drive one victim group after another through that hole until the Constitution is all whole and no parchment. Nixon planted the dragon seed and Obama popped out. And it's very sad. It's very sad. Richard Milhouse Nixon, a Republican, started this whole affirmative action mess. A mess. The dependency trap. Is also part of this whole affirmative action mess. Because right now the Obama administration is busy expanding the exact type of vicious, ungrateful underclass which recently exploded in London, as we talked about earlier. An administration program will expand free school meal coverage to millions of young people who are not even supposed to be eligible. A stated goal for the program is to eliminate the stigma of getting free lunch. The stigma. That stigma is one of the only things separating dignified free people from wretched government dependents. There's a lot of gray in between, but the Obama program would take students from a young age and nudge them in the wrong direction. Here's how the program works. If 40% of the students at school, at any school, qualify for public assistance, then every student in the school will get free food. That's free breakfast, free lunch, and a snack. If that sounds like arbitrary welfare waste, well, of course it is. 60% of the student body could be above the poverty line, ineligible for welfare, or even upper class. It doesn't matter. Every student magically becomes entitled. This welfare trap is named the Community Eligibility Option, part of Barack Obama's Healthy, Hungry, Free Kids Act. Three states will be involved in a pilot program starting now, and more states will be phased in over time. By 2014-2015, the option will be available in all states. That's if this law is kept on the books. Any student at a school with 40% of the student body on welfare is going to get his lunch for free, whether he needs it or not, whether his family can afford it or not. Is that right? Does anybody oppose it? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Entire school districts like Detroit's will receive free food for every single student at all grades, kindergarten through 12th grade. Is it fair? Is it right? And who's paying for all of this? One wonders. Who's paying for it? Have we gone too far? And what of Barack Obama's vacation time? Should we give Barack Obama a break? Does the president really need a vacation? How do you score partisan points against a president who looks to have won a military victory in Libya at very low cost? A simple, attack him for being away from Washington at a summer house when the victory was won. Should he take a break? I mean, free does. Billy writes in the chat room that free comes with a high price tag. No doubt, Billy. Now, let's talk about the president's vacation time. Back during George W. Bush's years, Democrats sneered and scoffed at the 43rd president's extended visits to his Crawford, Texas ranch. They said, where was the guy's work ethic? Now, the shoe's on the other foot. President Barack Obama has for the second summer in a row, rented an expensive compound on the Atlantic island of Martha's Vineyards. The president of the United States never gets a vacation. Not really. The nuclear football follows wherever the president goes. He receives a daily intelligence briefing every morning, including Christmas. The decisions never stop. The cares of state never lighten. The burden of responsibilities never lifted. So what if the president goes golfing 76 times? It isn't really golfing because the nuclear football is always with him, and being president is a tough job, right? Except that criticism of Obama going on vacation is not limited to the right. It's universal. Many on the left have taken the president to task, not only for vacationing while the rest of America is hurting, but also for his choice of vacation spot. the estate of a rich crony. This is hardly a partisan criticism, is it? Should the president be on vacation at this time? That's the question. Should he be on vacation? I don't really care. Because frankly, when he's on vacation, he's not doing something really stupid or saying anything really dumb. So we're all good. So here's the thing. We've got the president of the United States on vacation. We've got the world pretty much collapsing. Wouldn't it be a better idea just to kind of hang out in the Oval Office? I mean, how hard can it be? It can't be that bad. He can stroll the grounds. He can hang out. He can golf on the White House lawn. It's big enough. He's probably all got all kinds of cool toys there. Movie theater, swimming pool, movie stars. And when Hillary and Bill come over, he's got the Beverly Hillbillies. So, I don't know. It seems like a pretty good setup to me. Why do you need to go on vacation? The president is pretty much on vacation. He's got the best job in the world, or is it the hardest job? And his girls are in private school, Karen writes. Private screening rooms, he's got it all at the White House. I visited that place. I mean, I guess you want to get out every now and then. I suppose. But it just doesn't look right. It simply doesn't. I mean, who could say, well, you know, I'm the president, and it's really a tough job, and I really need to go out, you know, and get some R&R. You know, most Americans can't afford vacations now, and hey, I can't worry about that because I got a really tough job. What it seems like to me is that President Obama's pretty lazy, doesn't really care about being president. He just cares more about having a lot of power, and he takes as many vacations as he can get. I really have to stop reading May B's sarcastic comments just before I hit the rack later at night. And she was making fun of Michelle Obama's teleprompter speech to some lady donors. It went something like this. It's also pretty funny to picture them actually sitting on a sofa in the White House residence. Her in a designer dress with her Jimmy Cocos kicked off in the corner. Him with his White House brewed honey ale, reading the 10 letters for the day and saying, Michelle, it just isn't right what people are going through. Why, what do you mean, Barack? We have to fix it. I'm tired, but I can't rest until this is fixed. The next thing I know, I couldn't get the image of Kipling's The Man Who Would Be King out of my head. You might remember it. It's the story of two men who travel to a place called Kafistan, actually Afghanistan, where they offer themselves up as military advisors and trainers to the locals. After helping them defeat their most hated enemy, one of the men, Danny, is treated like a god. A reincarnation of a chief, Alexander the Great, by monks who mistaken his Masonic jewel for one worn by Alexander when he passed through the land centuries ago. Is Obama the man who would be king? Obama entered office, folks. He entered office on a groundswell, swept into office in a sort of a mania in which voters imagined on his blank slate of a candidate all sorts of truly fantastic abilities and policies, none of which were warranted in his paltry, shabby history. The man with no available school records, for example, was painted as a genius, and his brief time at the University of Chicago as an adjutant, basically a teaching assistant. You heard me right, a teaching assistant at the University of Chicago, not a professor. He touts himself as a professor of constitutional law. And others do too. Folks, your host, the voice you're hearing, I am a professor. I have taught at Georgetown. I have taught at William and Mary as a professor. Barack Obama would have been underneath me. He would have been my teaching assistant. He would have been my flunky. He would have been my B-I-T-C-H. That's where he was on the totem pole at the University of Chicago. But folks are saying that he was a constitutional law professor. And he remarked just a couple of weeks ago, well, I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on today. I couldn't help but laugh. And most constitutional law professors, I'm sure they laugh too. He was basically just a teaching assistant, folks. Puffed up to a professorship in constitutional law. That's like saying me, a mere colonel in the United States Marine Corps when I retired, was actually a four-star general. I've been puffed up to be a four-star general. Bestowed the Medal of Honor, Silver Star, and all of that. Not true, of course. Certainly not true that Barack Obama was a professor of constitutional law. The guy can't speak a logical, coherent, grammatical sentence on his own without the aid of a teleprompter. Was pawned off as a literary genius to unsuspected, foolish voters. It was inevitable that the reality of his time in office could never match the dream. He was supposed to be a god. Jesus, Lincoln, FDR, all rolled into one. Can't string a sentence together without the aid of a teleprompter. It was unfortunately equally inevitable that he would prove inadequate to the difficult job of the presidency. He doesn't have it, folks. He doesn't have it. I'm reminded by a conversation I had with Muhammad Ali on his farm in Michigan. I was driving through. I wanted to visit. Any of you listening to the sound of my voice can visit Muhammad Ali on his farm in rural Michigan. All you got to do is drive up and knock on the door. And if he's feeling like talking, he'll talk to you. It was no big deal. I drove up unannounced. You know what Muhammad Ali said when the topic came to Mike Tyson, who was then the heavyweight champion of the world? He said that Mike was the champion. But he said he doesn't have it. He repeated, as if I hadn't heard, he said, he doesn't have it. He don't have it. Those are his exact words. And as it turns out, Ali was right. Tyson didn't have it. He was heavyweight champion of the world, but he didn't have it. Barack Obama's president of the United States, and he does not have it. Still, which of those who voted for him could have envisioned the hash he's made of things in every respect. Unemployment far exceeds what he warned it would be. The housing market shows no signs of liftoff. The dollar sinks more each day. Manufacturing is at a virtual standstill. In America, Americans have grown more pessimistic about the economy every single day. The landmark legislation of his first and hopefully his final term, Obamacare, is so badly conceived and drafted that Americans are likely to see the best medical service in the world destroyed unless it is soon repealed or ruled unconstitutional, whichever one comes first. In the meantime, as uncertainty about its future grows, more and more businesses are paralyzed and unable to plan for their futures. This guy is inept. Mr. Constitutional Law Professor, how many of you were bamboozled, fooled, led astray to believe that President Obama was a genius? And in addition to that, we keep alienating our allies and boosting our enemies, like the Duke of York in the nursery school rhyme. He had 10,000 men, marched them up the hill, and then marched them down again. He ordered a surge in Afghanistan, the place he argued in 2008 was really should be instead of Iraq. That's the place we really should be, he said. And then ordered them pulled out before the job is done. Last week's press conference revealed Obama as a man desperately clinging to the same rhetorical devices that have long worn thin, demagoguing false choices, class warfare, and preposterous descriptions of himself as the reasonable adult in the room. Fill in the blanks, folks. This is the same speech we've been hearing his entire term. Republican leaders need to ask their constituents if they're willing to sacrifice the blankety blank 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 blank. The president of the United States is a mess. This is what happens when we elect a man who can barely string a sentence together. Folks talk about how George Bush was not very bright. He didn't speak well. My goodness. Maybe not. But here we have a man that's even worse. May God help us. I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight, taking the time out of your night to come in and listen to my show. Billy, Beach Bum, Blog Talk King, all my guests, Kessler, Karen, love you girl, Pendleton Marine, Republican Marine, everybody, thank you. I want everybody to have a great night. Thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. Country love and mercy more than life. America.
Like this, listen here. Oh, beautiful life, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Now, wait a minute.
I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood.